sending us messages, calling us, letting us know about how God had used that sermon. And they went and took that opportunity to ask for forgiveness, to reconcile relationships that they had, and just praise the Lord for that. Today, we're going to continue that series, and I hope you picked up one of the bulletins this morning, Christmas is Forgiving, because this week we're going to look at the whole aspect of initiating forgiveness. Initiating forgiveness. It's a little bit deeper. You know, last week I want to remind you what he told us to do last week when he said forgiving those who hurt us. He gave you three things to do. You got to choose to pray, you got to choose to forgive, and then you have to choose to bless. Somebody knew it. Thank you. I was just checking you there. See if you knew it. Choose to pray, choose to forgive, and then choose to bless. So this week we're going to deal with a little more difficult topic. It's a little bit more difficult. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. Initiating forgiveness or going to those who we have actually hurt. And Christmas is about forgiving, isn't it? I mean, you know, this time of the year, the holidays, For many, can be, you know, fun. They're fun. I like the holidays. I like Christmas. Don't you, David? I mean, it's an exciting time, especially if you have small children or if you have grandkids, you know, and that's the center of it. I see the grandparents smiling about the grandkids, and the parents are saying, yeah, I still can't find that toy. I remember those days, you know. Except back then, you didn't have Google, and you didn't have Amazon, and now you just spent 83 hours driving around all over creation trying to find whatever that doll was or whatever that. I remember those days, but they're fun, and we can't wait to be with family. And for others, though, it's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? Not everybody this morning could smile with me when I said that. It can be difficult, and there's more of a sense of loss, or sometimes there's a sense of pain or regret. Oftentimes, especially in family relationships, it can be hard, can't it? There have been strains, and that's really what makes Christmas sometimes difficult. That's the reason, really, that we're doing this Christmas is Forgiving. We're going to look today at God's Word and let Him speak healing into our relationships, because we all need that. It's interesting to note, though, that it's so much easier to remember those who have hurt us than it is for us to understand when we've hurt other people. You know, our brains, Moretta, we always remember those that we hurt, but sometimes we have a tendency to forget those we've hurt. And so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5 today, and there's three verses in there, verse 23, 24, and part of 25, and these are just very important life-changing verses that can bring healing where there's brokenness in relationships. And I want to give you three words this morning. The three words are actually already there in your bulletin, but I want to give you three words, kind of the same way we gave you three things last week, just three principles so that we can apply what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is teaching to us. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 23, it says this. Jesus is teaching. This is part of the Beatitudes. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching a multitude of people, and he says this, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, or in other words, if you come to worship, and when you get there, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go away. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly. You can see there's a sense of urgency in the voice of Jesus there, can't you? He's not, you know, he's talking about worship, and he says, no, wait. If you come to worship and there is something between you and your brother, I want you to do this one thing. I want you to stop. Don't try to enter into worship. I want you to stop. I want you to leave that offering that you've brought. And that offering, maybe we think of offering, we think of our tithes. But when we come to worship God each and every day, we're bringing ourselves to Him. And so He's saying, instead of bringing yourself to me because you can't come to me because there's something between you and your brother, I want you to stop. So Jesus is going to teach us some biblical principles here. And they're really easy. You ever heard stop, drop, and... Yeah, we're not going to do roll. Stop, drop, and give. But it's pretty simple to remember. All you got to do is remember one word, right? I mean, everybody knows stop, drop, and roll. Anybody want to, you know, come up and give us an illustration? I don't think so. Stop, drop, and give. So the very first one, if you're taking notes, the very first thing that we're going to do as Jesus teaches us through his word is that we're going to, number one, stop and acknowledge those that we have hurt. We're going to stop. Say stop with me. Stop. We all need to. You're going to have to do it a little bit louder. We all need to. We need to stop and acknowledge those that we have hurt. Remember I said we're initiating forgiveness. And so your mind is already going to, yes, but. There's no yeah, buts. There's no thinking about what someone else has done to me. We're focusing on you and what God is saying to you this morning. We need to stop and ask and acknowledge those that we have hurt. Now, let me take a break. It's not going to be easy. Y'all know that, right? You're already getting uncomfortable. I told Chad, I know now why he wanted me to preach his sermon, because this is the hardest one in this series. Did you like that? Woo! Got that voice thing going on this morning. It's not easy. But listen, we have to, if we have hurt someone who's important to us, if we've hurt someone that's not important to us, we need to stop and acknowledge those that we've hurt. Look at it again. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. In other words, stop. Deal with this very issue. Now, how many of you do this? How many of you ever done this? Good place to start today, isn't it? You know, you ever been at the mall? Maybe Walmart or somewhere, and you're shopping down through there, and you're walking around, you're trying to, you know, get your groceries or whatever, you're in a rush, and, you know, maybe you're a little grumpy, or maybe you're just not, you know, you're not real personable that day, and you see somebody at the opposite end of the aisle that you know. Chris, you ever done this? And you see them, and you know what you do, don't you? And you see them, and it's that. Instead of stop, drop, and roll, it's duck and roll. You know, you're going down there, you're pushing your little Walmart cart down through there, and there's Dave. Hey, come on, let's go down this aisle. Well, I just don't want to talk to him right now. Come on, let's go down this aisle. You know, so you go to the next aisle, and then, you know, you're in the supermarket section. You're in the grocery section, and you think, you know what? I might just need to go over to the pharmacy right now, take care of that, and then I'll come back. Come over here. Y'all, don't fool me. Y'all know y'all do the same thing because I've seen you do it. Because I've been the one that you see down there. And you say, hey, Pastor Tony, go quick as you can so we don't have to, you know, we don't have to talk to him today. How many of y'all do that? I'm going to be honest with you. How many of y'all do that? I do that. We're not all wanting to talk to somebody every time you go into Walmart. You want to go in there, make a one-minute trip to the back, get the milk, come out. 75 minutes later, you're still in Walmart. There's a flip side of that principle, right? You know what the flip side is. They done seen you. I've already spotted you. I'm thinking the same thing. Maybe they won't see me. Maybe they won't see my eyes. It's avoidance, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's just natural. Sometimes we want to avoid one another. Well, what's interesting is how sometimes we'll avoid people at the mall or people at Walmart or family members sometimes. We'll avoid those people, but sometimes we'll avoid very important issues as well. That's just missing somebody, but there's some issues that we have going on, and it's amazing. We'll avoid those very important issues, especially around the holiday time. Where our pain and, you know, maybe our relational pain, you know, is a little increased. You know that next week, you know the week after next, you've got to meet these people. It's incredibly personal, but we can sense it's there. And oftentimes what we do is that avoidance. Just like Walmart, we'll avoid that whole situation. We don't want to deal with that. We don't want to deal with those issues that are going on, whether it's something that's going on in the family. You know, this person's got these issues. Maybe, you know, there's an eating disorder, there's alcoholism, there's drugs. Maybe they're just, you know, being a pain in the rear. Or maybe it's family issues. You know, we put on that facade. That's the other word I like, that facade. Everything's good this morning coming in. Y'all all happy, smiling. I know what you were like in the car. I know what was going on. You're not kidding me. It's there, and then, you know, and you'll come in here and you'll smile and you'll all sit together and kumbaya. You're going to hold hands and you're going to go right back out in the car. You're going to smile at all the greeters going out, and you're going to go back. You're going to get in that same car, and that frown's just going to automatically just dissipate. Just, I don't want you. The next week, you got to meet those same people. And amazing, you can avoid them 364 days out of the year. That's what you're doing. You're avoiding. 364 days out of the year, you can avoid them. But there's just that one day. Y'all know I'm true, right? I'm speaking the truth, don't you? You see, avoidance won't deal with what happened. It builds up. What happens is this. When we avoid this situation, see, some of you, we're trying to avoid it today. You're listening to me, but you're putting the ifs and buts in there already. Yeah, but, well, if you only knew. I'll get to the ifs and buts in a minute. But here's what happens to you when we avoid those situations. Here's what happens to us when we put that facade on. All it does is build up bitterness. It builds up anger. It builds up hostility. It builds up negative emotions. It builds up, you know, it builds up stinging words. It builds up accusations. And you've built that up 364 days. And then we're going to come in, we're going to sing, "We Wish You a Merry Christmas." We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Like, no, you don't. You're wishing them something, all right? Stop. Listen, stop. Quit listening to those lies. Let's listen to what Jesus is trying to tell us here. Let's talk about anything else. No, let's talk about it this morning. Let's talk about it. So here we go. We're at Christmas times. We've learned to play this game. This, you know, be polite. Just hit the surface issues. You know, go in, talk about UK basketball or the weather. Or how's your kids? Oh, they're fine. That's good. Oh, it's good to see you. All right, we'll see you next year. Am I true? Am I there? All right. Just want to make sure I'm there. Just making sure. Surely, that's not what God wants. Let me just tell you, that is not what God wants in your life. What's the main problem then? Let me give you some insights that they're generally true. Well, they are true. And if you're taking notes, this will help you bring some understanding. Here's what we see. Generally, what we'll do is this. We'll judge others by one thing. We will judge others by their actions, by what they do or what they don't do, by what they say. We'll judge others by their actions, but when it comes to ourselves, when it comes to us, we typically judge ourselves not by our actions, but instead by our intentions. Why is that? Well, that's because we really know what our heart felt. What we feel in our heart. We really know what we meant to do. We really understand, you know, what we're truly thinking and feeling. And so we go by others' actions, and in turn we go by our own intentions. You understand what I'm talking about? In other words, you know, I love books. I got lots of books. My wife says I got way, way too many books. I'm not telling you how many books I have. It's probably a sin. But I have lots of books, and if you come to me and borrow a book and you don't bring it back to me, you know, when you said you would, you know, you keep it 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year, and you don't bring it back to me, I'm going to hold that against you. He didn't bring my book back. Said he's going to borrow my book, still got my book. He's a thief. Done stole my book. Calling the police. I'm going to turn him in. I'm going to have him arrested for stealing my book. Now, if I borrow a book from you, say I'm going to keep it a couple weeks, and I still have it 3 months later, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go by my intentions. I was going to bring the book back. I'm still going to bring the book back. Don't worry, I've got your book. I forgot, or I haven't done reading with it, and I judge myself by my intentions, but I'll judge everyone else by their actions. And we'll walk into these situations, and you see, we know our intentions, but oftentimes we don't know how to express it, and so what happens? They judge us by our actions, which is a lack of expressing, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. They judge us by what we do, and we're judging us by what we know that we're going to, what we think we're doing. We end up with broken down relationships. We end up with misunderstandings. And see, this is it. Forgiveness is not based on a feeling. Are y'all listening to me? Listen to me. Y'all not listening to me. Say stop.
Stop.
Forgiveness is not based on a feeling. It's not. You're letting your emotions, your feelings control you, and the only thing that should control you is Christ. Your emotions are not based on feeling, but rather on fact that we're called to forgive. We are called to forgive. Forgiveness is not an emotion, but it's rather an act of the will. And who is to control our will? Whose will are you always looking for? Whose will are you looking for? You're always asking, you know why? I just want to be in God's will. Do you understand we say that from a physicality standpoint about what we do? You know, young people graduate high school and they say, well, what do I want to do? How can I be in God's will? We think of it physicality. Listen, you cannot no more be physically in God's will than I can be a different color. You have to not be, before you can be physically in God's will, you have to be spiritually in God's will. And in Ephesians, Paul tells us this. He says this, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Jesus said, when you come into the altar and you're laying down your gifts and you stop and you realize that you have something, that a brother has something against you, what should I do? Stop. Why? Because he tells us that you can no more experience God's forgiveness and God's love and God's mercy in your life. You can no more experience that with God until you experience that with your brother that you have something against. So if you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, Brother Tony, you mean to tell me that my ability to come into worship is hindered because I have something against a brother, that I've offended a brother? Yes. Yes, you do. It's called sin. And any sin that you have that's in your life is hindering you from your ability to worship and to live with God until you repent of that. Why is that? Because a lot of times, relationships, we're more concerned with the outward appearance than we are the inward appearance. We outwardly tell the world that everything is okay. We outwardly give this facade that our families are perfect, but there's an inward substance behind closed doors that nobody sees. We treat the world with, yes sirs and no sirs. We put on the happy face, and then we get home, we rip into each other. Or you act like you truly like that coworker, and to his face, you're all nice to him, I love working with him, it's so good to him. And then he walks out of the room, you start bad talking him behind his back to the other workers. Why is that? Because we think this out, we're so concerned about ourselves that we will do anything we can possibly do to keep up this outward appearance, this outward facade. And it's all a lie. Every bit of it. And we just need to admit our mistakes and ask for forgiveness. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to you. Yeah, but well, if you only knew what, all this. Can I tell you something? I told you I was going to get to the ifs and buts in a minute. My grandmother used to say this, and I heard somebody else say it this week, and I thought, you know what, that's perfect. I hadn't heard that in a long time. Y'all ready? It's not in my notes or anywhere, but if ifs and buts, if they just, you don't know what they are. If and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. If and buts were candy and nuts, we'd have so many candy and nuts, we wouldn't be able to get in this place today. We'd fill this whole stage with candy and nuts. Look, just drop the ifs and the buts. Just drop them. Well, you don't, listen, yes, I do know, and God knows. And the only reason we put up the ifs and the buts is because we think we have to put up this outward appearance, and God's saying, listen, I'll heal you from the inside if you'll just drop the ifs and the buts and come before me and ask for forgiveness and reconcile with your brother. You won't need ifs and buts anymore, and you'll have plenty of candy and nuts. Y'all going to use that this afternoon, aren't you? I can already see some of you tweeting it right now. You may say it again. Put it ifs and buts in quotes. If and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. No. Listen, today somebody, God's going to grab some of your hearts today, and we're going to stop and acknowledge those whom we've hurt. And we're going to say, you know what? I've hurt my spouse. I've hurt my friend. I've hurt my family, and I'm very, very sorry. And I've got to examine my own life as I prepared this message. I had to do the very same thing. And it's healthy. It's healthy to say, you know, in my heart I love you, but my actions haven't shown the depth of my love, or I'm sorry that I've neglected you, or I apologize if I've offended you. And you know what? You know, I'm sorry that I hurt you. And some of us today, some of you right now, you already know this, and you're already thinking in your minds that person you need to go to after this service today. And some of us are going to have to stop and acknowledge the fact that we've hurt those we love. And they're judging us by our actions, and we say, no, it's our hearts. Our intentions are good. Now listen, here's a tough question. And I want you to ask yourself this. You can take a notes, get you a pen. There's a pen right in front of you. I want you to write this down, because I'd like for you to sit back and honestly ask God, ask yourself this. Write in your notes there. Who is it that I have hurt? Who have you hurt? Is it a family member? Is it a spouse? Is it your mom and dad? Is it a son and daughter? Is there somebody in your church family? Is there an ex-spouse you haven't treated with respect? Is there someone at work? Is there an old friend, used to be a friend? Somebody you play sports with? Then let's take it to another level. You've asked the question, who is it that I've hurt? Now let's take it to another level. Let's take that relationship, and for a lot of us, we're really honest, we would say that we've got, you know, family relationships that are very strained, and at the very least, they're strained. And you know that something somewhere, sometime along the way, happened. You don't even know what it is. You just know that that relationship is strained. Maybe you did something. Maybe they did something. You're just not really sure. But you know that God wants something better for that relationship. Now, what I've got for you is a key question to ask. And it's dangerous. It's a very dangerous question. And it's risky. And when you ask it, you need to ask it being prepared to be shocked by what you hear. You with me? But listen to me. The Holy Spirit could work in your life if you ask this question. And here's the question. Ask someone you love, have I hurt you? Have I hurt you? You turn and ask that person next to you right now. I just don't want you getting a conversation. Not now, please. Have I hurt you? And when you ask that, I want to forewarn you. When you ask that, there's no telling what you're going to get back. Now, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to take inventory of our relationships. We're going to stop. We're stopping it all. Stopping everything before we go to this altar. Before we act all spiritual. Before we pretend like we've got it all together. Before we pretend like we're, you know, strong Christians, we're going to stop and acknowledge that we have hurt someone. Stop. Say it with me. Y'all got it. The second one is this. Not only are we going to stop, number two, we're going to drop. We're going to drop everything to make it right. We're going to drop everything to make it right. Listen to the urgency in Jesus' teachings here. He says, verse 24, he says, leave your gifts there in front of the altar. In other words, he says, don't even give it. Don't even give your gift. Just leave it there. First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come offer your gift. Verse 25, he starts off this way. He says, settle matters quickly with your adversary. Can you sense his urgency? Parents, it's like, you know, when you look, your kids are little and, you know, one of them gets hurt, you know, they're falling off the, you know, the slide, the trampoline, you know, they're fixing to tumble down the steps or whatever. And, you know, you're like super dad. Boom! I mean, you're right there before they ever touch the ground. We was at my brother's house for Thanksgiving, and one of my great nephews, is that right? One of my great nephews, he's playing on the steps on their deck in the back, and it's like 10 steps. There's a bunch of them. And my sister-in-law sitting there on about halfway down, and you know, he's gonna come down the steps. He's only like 2, 3. And you know, the normal way to go down the steps is, right? No, he's Superman. He's just going to fly off the steps, I guess. Because he just here he goes right there. And just that quick, I mean, it's like the motherly instinct. She knew something around her wasn't right. She's got her back to him. And she just, just like that, she turned and caught him right there in midair and just set him down. Zoom! You know, bam! She was there. My kids are the same way, aren't they? I mean, when my kids were little, that's exactly what, you know, what I would do. Even today, if they need something, dad's going to drop whatever it is. He's going to be there for them. You know, if one of them called me, they were sick, they were in the ER or something, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to drop whatever it is, and I'm going to be there. And if I didn't do that, I'd be criticized, wouldn't I? I mean, I blew it. What do you mean, you know, your daughter's in the ER, you know, she's been in a car wreck or something, but I got to finish this, you know, meal. I got to finish this meeting. Y'all criticize me for that, right? I mean, that's low, selfish. I mean, we would never think of having an attitude like that. I mean, just go back to the kid. I mean, kids falling down the steps. It's your son, it's your daughter, and you're, oh, look, they're falling down the steps. They're laying there crying. And, man, that's a shame. They haven't fell down the steps. It's stupid. Come on, get up. You can do it. That's the arm's just dislocated. It's okay. It won't hurt too long. We got this situation in our life, this relationship, and it's broken. Bam! Falls on the floor, and we look at it like, that's all right. It'll heal by, if we ignore it, it will get better. Just ignore it. Just act like it's not there, and it will heal itself. You know that's a lie, don't you? You know, there'd be some who have relationships where, you know, we're screaming out, but sometimes the biggest screams are the ones that aren't audible at all. It's that silent scream. And we just ignore this forever and ever. Some of us, we have relationships that over the holidays, we're going to walk away going, now here you are, you're in your family, extended family. And you're going to do the same thing you did last year. You're going in, you put your big smiling face on, you're going to walk out, and you're going to say, why the heck can't we deal with this? It's like the big pink elephant in the room. Y'all know what pink elephants are? Ever heard of pink elephants? You know, if there's a pink elephant behind me, we'll talk about everything in the room, but we just seem to ignore the pink elephant. You can use a purple elephant, you can use a green elephant. I don't care what color your elephant is. It's just there's an elephant, but everybody chooses to ignore it. We just act like it's not there. And then we walk out and say, you know, why can't we deal with this? Why can't we do something about that? Why can't we plow through the pain and the hurt and find healing on the other side? Drop everything and make it right. Drop it. Quit ignoring it. When I was, Chad kind of used a personal illustration, and I really wasn't wanting to, but when I was called into, just being honest, when I got my life right with Christ, I guess would probably be a better word. And you know, before then, I was living like the rest of us do. I was, you know, just aggressively destructive lifestyle, I guess you would call it. Sometimes it was aggressive, but all the time it was destructive. My sin was hurting me, and it started to hurt others. And when I gave my life to Christ, I started to unpack some of those actions and some of those feelings, just some of that baggage. And as I did that, I gave my life to Christ and I started to unpack that baggage, I began to realize, you know, here's some of the things that I've done. And I carried that guilt. And I realized that, you know, I needed to ask for forgiveness from individuals that I'd hurt before I'd ever accepted Christ. And I began to pray and ask God that He would give me the chance to go and to make it right. And you know, some of it was very small. I mean, it was just conversations. It was just, you know, things that I said. Sometimes it was things that I had done. But I began to pray and I asked God that He would give me the opportunity to make that right. And, of course, being Mayfield, you know, this is a small community. Don't ask God for something if you don't want it to happen. I don't think it would have mattered if I was in New York City, but in due time I would meet those individuals. And I had the opportunity when I would, you know, to ask them forgiveness, and so I would, you know, I wasn't playing the avoidance or the facade game at Walmart, and you know, oh, there's so and so, you know I hurt them, I'm gonna avoid them. Instead, I would take a deep breath, I'd swallow my pride. I would go up to them and say, listen, I just need to ask for your forgiveness. I know I've hurt you. I know I've said things, you know, to you that I shouldn't. I know that, well, it didn't matter what it was. I just knew that I needed to ask them, would you please forgive me? And I would explain to them about what Christ has done in my life. And I would admit my fault and ask them to forgive me. And you know what? Each one of those individuals forgave me. And there are those of you in here today. Y'all ready? Keeps getting a little bit deeper, doesn't it? There are those of you in here today that you need to pray that same prayer. God, would you give me the chance to go and talk to someone that I love? Would you give me the chance to initiate forgiveness? God, would you give me that chance? And you pray for that, and you watch, and God may just deliver very quickly the chance of making something right. We've already seen it this past week, haven't we, Pastor Chad? We left here Sunday last week. I went and performed a wedding. Brother Pastor Chad went to a funeral. We met up again. We left for a funeral out of state. And before we ever got in the car, we both had on our phones text messages and emails of people that would text us and says, listen, I was listening to that message and I knew I needed to ask forgiveness. And they went and initiated forgiveness and they were scared and they didn't know what was going to happen. And it was so funny because I'm going to mention to you in a minute, you do it face to face. And there was one of them, they was trying to do everything they could not to have to meet them, have to do it face to face. And God, they prayed that prayer and God worked it out. And they wouldn't answer the phone. They, you know, wouldn't, you know, answer the text, and the text wouldn't go through. Imagine that, AT&T. The text wouldn't go. I'm sorry, you work for AT&T. I apologize. Hey, you know, the text wouldn't go through, and then, you know, and so the person called them. It's all that they were getting in contact. Hadn't talked to each other in years. Hey, notice you tried to call me or text me. Text wouldn't go through. What can I do for you? I need to ask you to forgive me. I know I've hurt you. I know that I've done you wrong. And they got that chance. Now, when you do this, now listen, everybody, pay attention right here. If you got something against somebody, this is kind of a side note that I'm sidetracking. Am I doing all right on time? Just kind of sidetracking here. Are you ready? If you have something against somebody and they don't know about it, keep it to yourself. Just keep it to yourself. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you know, if you have something against somebody and they have no earthly idea, keep it to yourself, okay? if you've been, you know, if you've been judging them a long time, you know, like, you know, you see them out in town, they walk around, you think they're walking around thinking they're all that, you know, wearing their tight clothes, doing their thing, whatever. I don't know, you know, walking in here, you know, throwing their, you know, off all their stuff, and you know, you just don't like them. You keep telling yourself, you know, I just don't like them. I know she ain't nothing. They just think they're just so cool. Don't go up and tell that person, you know what? You know, for the last 8 years, I thought you were a loser and you just a trampy thing. You know, really, I've kind of figured out you're not too bad. Would you forgive me? Don't do that. If you've got something in your heart, don't be bringing, you know, don't put, you know, don't try to internalize it. Don't try to create a wound in order to put medicine on it. You need to take that to God. You know, there's some of you in here this morning I don't know if I should use that or not. I wrote that illustration down. Let me think about that a second. Why not? There's some of you here this morning, you got the spiritual gift of criticism. I'm just letting that sink in because y'all just anticipating. You got the spiritual gift of the criticism. You sitting here this morning, you don't like this church. That's because you got that gift. Thing is, you don't like any churches. You can find something wrong with every church that you go to. I mean, you're good at it. You use that same gift of criticism for everybody that you meet. You're so negative, you can find, you know, somebody give you $1 million and you'd say you'd complain because they didn't give it to you in the right denominations. Wonderful gift. Nothing like going to, you know, to live up to, you know, perfect standard. You know, you think everything's got to be perfect, and if it is not like you think it should be, then, you know, you're going to judge it. I mean, you do that. You judge Pastor Chad. You judge me. You sit back and, you know, I just don't like him. Red-headed preacher. Yeah, I'm over there. Then he brings in, you know, you just don't like him. You listen, you know, and then one day God's going to get your attention. And you're going to sit back and be tempted, you know, to come and say, you know, I've been judging this church for a long time. And I've been critical of you and, you know, these last years. And you know what? I've come to realize you're not so bad. Don't tell me that. Just keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear how much you haven't liked me. I don't really care. But you just, do you see when you do that, you just create, if there's something in there that you've internalized against someone else, take that to God. That person hasn't done anything to you. That's what you're doing to yourself. Don't create a wound in order to put medicine on it. Take it to God. Then let Him deal with you. Then drop everything. Make it right. We're going to do. We're going to free ourselves. And that's what I want for you this morning. I want you to be free of that bitterness, that hostility, that anger. We want to free ourselves from the torment of the guilt of an unhealthy relationship. Look at what Proverbs says there in your notes. What he says, if you've been trapped by what you said, in other words, trapped, then do this to free yourself. What do you do? Well, look at it. Go, humble and humble yourself. Humble yourself. Plead with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself. Why? Because this is why. Nothing else matters like relationships matter. All that stupid junk we pursue, it doesn't last. Everything that you're pursuing in life, that you're working for, making money for, buying, trading, all of it, none of it's going to last. The only thing that you're going to have that lasts are relationships. And what we do is we do the opposite extreme. So you're going to go in this few weeks and you're going to meet these people that you don't like, and you're going to buy presents for these people that you don't like. So try to overcome that guilt. You're going to take your money and try to appease your guilt by buying them something. Here, I know we don't like one another, but let me give you this gift. That's what we're doing. You're saying, well, no, I'm just trying to be polite. No, you're just trying to cover the animosity there is between the two of you. It's stupid. It's stupid. Why don't we do this? Don't give presents. Why about we just give our love? How about you just give yourself? How about we just don't, you know, we don't try to buy away the hurt. How about we just be real honest and admit that there's pain there and deal with it? How are we going to do that? Well, there's two biblical thoughts he gives us there. First thing he says is this: we're going to do it face to face. Don't email an apology. Don't text an apology. Don't fax an apology. Do it face to face. You remember how Paul handled Peter in Galatians? He said, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Do it face to face. Now, there's two things I want to say, and I want you to have these in writing because these words are very important. Y'all listening? Is it on there? All right, here it is. I want you to say this. I'm sorry I have hurt you. Period. I'm sorry I've hurt you. Don't add anything else. Here's what you're going to be tempted to do. It goes back to ifs and buts. Remember what I said? If and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. This is what you're going to be tempted to do. You're going to go in and say, listen, I'm sorry for what I hurt you, but I want to explain, but I want to, or I'm sorry I hurt you, but if I'm sorry I hurt you, no buts, no ifs. Here's what, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Don't add any clauses. I'm sorry that I hurt you, but here's what's going on. No, simply this, I'm sorry that I hurt you. Period. Period. Don't give any clauses. Don't give any excuses. Not a single thing that resembles an excuse. Take ownership of it. I'm sorry that I hurt you. Period. And then quit trying to justify your actions. Because God's looking at us and we're praying. And it's just like, you know, we come to this altar. God, forgive me, but. God said, but what? Don't make excuse, not a single thing that resembles excuse. I'm sorry. What's the next word? Period. Nothing. And then the second thing, you're going to say this, will you forgive me? I'm sorry I've hurt you. Will you forgive me? I don't deserve it. You might say that. I'm not offering anything. I'm not. All I'm doing is throwing. All you're doing is throwing yourself at the feet of someone that you've hurt, and you're saying, "I'm sorry, I was wrong. Will you please forgive me?" Second thing is this. You know, you got to grasp this truth. You've done your part. You've asked for forgiveness. Now we're going to do our part and trust God to do the rest. If you go and you try to offer your apology, let me tell you, you'll get one of three things. I come up to you and I say, I apologize, forgive me. First, you may get this, you know what? I forgive you. You're forgiven. We're going to hug. We're gonna destroy all the animosity, all the hurt. And we're going to walk away. And we're going to know it's going to be forgiven. That's the first thing you might get. The second thing you might get is they might say, you know, hey, you go and you ask forgiveness. And they might say, you know, I didn't even know. I mean, I had no idea. I don't even know what you're talking about. Y'all remember Pastor Chad's illustration last week? Went to the hospital and he's apologizing. The lady's like, what are you talking about? I mean, I don't have any clue. I mean, hey, listen, but it's cool. And it may even work that you've planted a seed in their life. They realize they need to go somewhere else and apologize to someone else. That's the second one. Now, here's the third one, and this is the one that holds you back. You may go in, you may say, I know I've hurt you. Please forgive me. And here's a real possibility. You may get this answer. Not a chance. Forget it. Game over. I will not. Listen, you're already out of the wheel. You're out of my life. You know, there's no $200. There's no pass go. Game is over. No. And this is what you need to understand. Now, I want y'all to listen real close. This is what you need to understand. You need to do what you know God is wanting you to do, and that's ask forgiveness. Secondly, you need to put your trust in Him of what the outcome is going to be. And then third, you need to understand that you cannot control somebody else. You see, just because you hear this message today and you need to ask forgiveness, that person that's holding that you have that animosity against or that you've hurt may not be here this morning. And so when you go to ask forgiveness, they may not be in the same state of mind that you are. And you go to ask forgiveness, and they may say, no. They may say no. And you know what? That's all right, because you cannot control somebody else. All you can do is own up to your part. That's all you're responsible for. Romans tells us that. It says in the Bible in Romans 12:18, if it's possible. What's that tell us? If it is possible. That means it may not always be possible. If it is possible. If it is possible as far as it depends on you. Right? On you. Live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Listen, the urgency in Jesus' voice. If you're going to the altar and worship and you realize you have something, someone has something against you, stop. Stop everything. Go and make it right. Settle the matter quickly. We're going to stop. We're going to drop. Here's the third thing. We're going to finish this up real quick. We're going to stop. We're going to drop, and then we're going to give. We're going to give. We're going to give our heart and our gifts to God. Verse 24, he says this, first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift unto the Lord. Romans 12:1 tells us, in view of God's mercy, his mercy and forgiveness for each one of us, when we deserve it, we didn't deserve it and didn't earn it, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. You see, that's how we worship. This is your spiritual act of worship. What's Jesus saying behind the lines between it? Jesus is saying this, you've got one thing that matters, only one thing, your relationship with God. That's what matters. Secondly is your relationship with others. What's Jesus say? He says the most important, what did he say the most important commandment was? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the most important relationship that you have in your life. And then he says, and the second one is this. And what was the second one? To love your neighbors as yourself. Why was Jesus so urgent in teaching this? Because he knows that the evil one, Satan, is very clear and very deceitful, and he wants to destroy what is important to the heart of God. And if he can destroy your relationship with God, he's got you. But if he can't do that and he can destroy your relationship with others, then in fact, he's already destroying your relationship with God. Do y'all see what I'm saying? The animosity, the guilt, the bitterness, all that stuff you're hanging on to, it's like chains in your life. And every day that you go and don't ask forgiveness, every day that you have that in your life, and that animosity, it creates bitterness, and that's a chain. It creates anger, and there's another link in the chain. It creates hate, there's another link in the chain. It creates animosity, there's another link in the chain. The relationship continues to degrade, that's another link in the chain. You come to Christmas, and you put on this big facade that you like everybody. That's another link in the chain. And what are you doing? You're just not, see, we think we're destroying. Well, I can live without you liking me. I can live hating you. And what we don't realize is not only we created that there, but we've destroyed our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we're breaking His heart because He's saying, I have the solution to the pain in your life, and you're too prideful to let it go, and let me help you with it. Just hold on to your pain and your guilt and your animosity. Hold on to it. And see, Satan, he loves to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Do you see how he's doing that in your life? Do you see that that's what he's doing to you? You're holding on to that unforgiveness. And what's he doing? He's stealing your life. You don't have joy. You don't have peace. You can sing Merry Christmas all you want, think of a little baby Jesus, and that kind of gives you the idea that, you know, all's good. But you know inside your heart it's not. Why? Because he's stealing it from you. Your relationships are the most important part we have. This is my prayer this afternoon. This is my prayer today. I'm praying that when you leave this place, I'm mean in my prayer sometimes. Y'all, some of you need to pray this with me for others. I'm praying that you can't sleep. God, don't let them sleep until they have dealt with it. So when you can't sleep tonight, don't be calling me and don't be texting me because you can't sleep. You did it to yourself. God, don't let them sleep until they deal with it. Don't let them sleep until they repent to you in their hearts and they make it right with the individuals in their lives that they're hurting. Don't let them sleep. You're going to pray that with me, aren't you, Pastor Chair? We're going to pray tonight. Don't let them sleep. Eva, you better have it right because you're not sleeping tonight, girl, if you got something wrong with somebody. You're not going to do it. Listen. Unforgiveness is like a demon that you put into you, that you let place into your body. I'm not saying you can be demon-possessed. I'm saying it's like a demon. If you don't deal with unforgiveness, if you don't deal with that, it creates bitterness and hurt and anger, and eventually it will eat your soul. It will eat you alive. Because you see, grace is about forgiveness. The other thing we haven't even touched about, I don't know if Pastor Chad is going to hit on next week, but biblically you have to understand forgiveness this way. Grace is about forgiveness, but there's also a thing such as law. And most of the time why you cannot is because you've been taught law all your life and you don't have an appreciation of grace, and you can't have one without the other. It's like a coin. I don't have a coin. I'm broke. I'm poor. It's like a coin. It's the same. It's the sides of a coin. Grace is on one side and law's on the other, and you can't operate without either one of them. You can go home and just start studying that out, all right? You got to have balance in that. Why is that? Hebrews tells us, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. You see, there's an urgency to the voice of Jesus. If you're going to go and worship and you realize that someone has something against you, stop. Drop everything. Make it the highest priority in your life. Go and make it right. You only sometimes have one shot. Don't waste it. Y'all know what will happen. So you feel that this afternoon. You feel it now, and you'll walk out of here, and Satan's going to put in the eye. You know, why don't you just put it off till tomorrow? You need to think on it a little bit more. No, you need to do it today. Because you wait till tomorrow, then Satan, and you place that doubt in there, and the conviction is gone from your heart, and then you'll never do it again. And you've wasted it. And then that time will never happen. And then a year from now, you're still dealing with that same thing. Forgiveness is a God-imitated adventure. Notice I didn't say it's not initiated. I said it's a God-imitated adventure. You see, God so loved you and so loved me and wanted us to experience his forgiveness, something that we had no way in our own power to ask for. That he sent his own son so that he could die on our behalf, so that we could experience that relationship, that forgiveness that God so desperately wants us to have. And so, he's put his own son on a cross and let him hang there and die. For one reason, so that you could have forgiveness. So that you could have forgiveness. And we have that relationship with him. And in our relationships on this earth, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he calls us out and he says, listen, the most important thing you can do is love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And every one of my creatures in humanity, I want you to love one another. And the only way that we can do that is if we are imitating Christ, and if we're becoming more like Him every day in that adventure, because the power of forgiveness is found first in that God has forgiven you. And so the question is, well, I have no power in my life to forgive others. I have hate, and I don't want to let it go. Then you might need to ask yourself this: do you know God's forgiveness? Are you a child of God? Have you ever repented of your sins and asked God to save you? Because that's the only place that you can begin to understand how to imitate God's forgiveness. And if you have, if you know Christ as your personal Savior and that God forgives you, listen to me. You listening? We got like 3 minutes here. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, how many of you know Christ as your personal Savior? I'm going to put you on the spot. How many of you? All right, now listen to me. If you know Christ and you accept His forgiveness, you've accepted His forgiveness? You say you're saved. You accepted His forgiveness? All right, you ready? If you've accepted His forgiveness, and you refuse to forgive others, what you've done is just spit in the face of God. Jesus said, when you come to the worship and you realize that there's something between you and your brother, to come and try to worship without reconciling that with your brother is to spit in the face of God. Go, stop. Don't sin any farther. Stop. Drop everything that you're doing and ask for forgiveness. And this is what's neat about it, is the power of the Holy Spirit. When you do that, He'll take control, and you'll be amazed at how God will work in your life and how God will work in that person's life and how God will work in this season, because you see, Christmas truly is for forgiving. And if you're going to call yourself a follower of Christ, by golly, be one. Be one. We'll do our part. Let's trust God, and He will do His part. But you see, the reasons we have the difficulties in our lives that we do, the reasons that we have our difficulties as a body of believers, is because oftentimes we want to hide that facade, and we want to hide that and keep that inward stuff hidden and just go by that outward appearance, and God is saying, all you're doing is spitting in my face. Ask for forgiveness. Let God make you whole. One more thing. They're fixing to come out. One more thing. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And we'll post this prayer later. It'll help you. But one more thing. Listen to me, because I don't want you to misunderstand. Forgiveness is an ongoing process which requires that you choose to forgive every time the offense comes to mind. I often get asked, I've asked for forgiveness, but I just can't seem to get past it. You are past it. Don't let Satan make you think that just because intellectually or mentally it's still in your mind that forgiveness isn't there. Forgiveness is a process, and you have to choose to forgive every time the offense comes to mind, and you have to choose to pray for the offender every time the offense comes to your mind. Let's pray for God's best in our relationships. And let's pray together.